Hi there, this is Austin Hetzler, the pastor of Christ the Rock Church, located in Amherst, Ohio. We at Christ the Rock are humbled and grateful to be a part of your sanctification today as you listen to this sermon. But at the same time, we want to encourage you to be a member of a good local church, and not to allow online sermons to replace the local church, and to continue to benefit from the life of that church and to give your spiritual gifts back to that church. Having said that, our website is ChristRockChurch.com. If you go there, you can find sermons, blog posts, and other resources, as well as our location and service times. You can also listen to our sermons on Podbean, Apple iTunes, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. I, along with a membership of Christ the Rock Church, pray that this sermon will be a blessing to you.
Lord, we come before you today, and Lord, we want to give you all the praise and glory, Lord God, that comes out of your word. Lord, as we learn your precepts, that we can build upon them, and that we continuously grow during this time of sanctification that you've given us. That, Lord, as long as we tarry on this earth, we will long for your word, and that you would guide us and direct us, Lord God. Lord, bless this time for everybody here. And that, Lord, for those that don't know you, that you would pierce their heart and change it from that hard rock to that pliable clay for you. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, last time I preached, it was on Ruth, right? So the Old Testament, and it was an incredible story. And it's not just a story, it's history. So, you know, when we read out of the books of the Old Testament, especially the deemed history books, and today it's going to be Joshua. And I've titled this one, if you're counting, God's Promises Kept. We're going to look at Joshua today, and we're going to look at some of his characteristics and some of the things that I was definitely challenged on as I went through the study of this passage. We're not going to go through all 24 chapters, but we're going to go pretty deep dive into it, and we're going to look at some character traits, and we're going to look at how he let the Lord lead him in his life and had a great responsibility with his people. If you would turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. Now it came after the death of Moses, the servant of Yahweh, that Yahweh spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' attendant, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. So now arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I have given them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses, from the wilderness to this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea towards the setting of the sun will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, to be careful to do according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn aside from it to the right or to the left, so that you may be prosperous wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according as it is written in it. For then you will make your way successful, and then you will be prosperous. Have I not commanded you? Again, he says this, right? Be strong and courageous. Do not be in dread or dismayed, for Yahweh, your God, is with you wherever you go. So as I mentioned, this we're reading out of the book of Joshua. It is considered a history book. And we got to take it further in our minds, because a lot of times we say Bible stories, right? I think I said that in the beginning. You got to be very careful. These are not just nice stories. This is part of our history that we're learning here. And what do they say about history? If you fail to learn from history, well, you're repeated, you know, you'll just repeat the same failures over and over again. And we should take out of God's word that which will strengthen us. I love that it mentions three times there, be strong and courageous. Sometimes we don't always feel that way. Let's look a little bit at Joshua's characteristics and traits that he had. If we back up at the end of Deuteronomy 34:9, you know, at Moses' death, Moses laid his hand on Joshua. And he said, "Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom, for Moses has laid his hand on him. And the sons of Israel listened to him and did as Yahweh had commanded Moses." It was the changing of the guard. You know, Joshua was Moses' protege. God had this all planned out. And now it's Joshua's turn to stand up and lead the people of Israel. We look at Joshua, and what did he have on his plate as a leader? He was the commander of the army of Israel. He was, and out of that, God reminded him what? Be strong and courageous. And he was also promised by God, just as Moses was promised, to inherit the land. He read and meditated on God's word. It's worth saying again in verse 1:8, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to what it is written in it. For then you will make your way successful, and then you will be prosperous." How many times do we have, like, maybe a reading plan, or we're reading along and we're just trying to fulfill the reading of the day, right? We're going through the motions. Here it tells us that we need to meditate on God's word day and night. I'm sure, especially as I get older in my life, sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and my mind starts whirling. And, you know, a lot of times it's like, okay, what do I got to do at work the next day and such. And when I start thinking about the things that I need to do, the Lord always reminds me, come to me in prayer. And numerous times I have had that disturbance of sleep at night that the Lord reminds me to pray for somebody or something, right? Or just to praise him for who he is. And it's in that quiet of the night that I can share, you know, my heart with my Lord. We should do that. And we should understand his law. Joshua had an incredible amount of responsibility. So not only is the leader of, you know, the army, he also, it says in verse 14, "Your wives and your little ones and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you beyond the Jordan. But you shall cross it before your brothers in battle array, for all your valiant warriors shall help them." Think about this. You know, it's different when we see our men go to battle, it's not usually with, you know, think of that, Carolyn. Moss is going to battle, and you're behind him holding the hands of your little ones. He's in battle array. That is an incredible responsibility. So not only do I have to worry about making sure my army's ready and prepared, I have to make sure that my families are being protected. That's an immense responsibility. But he also reminds everybody of what God promised Moses. It says, remember the words which Moses, the servant of Yahweh, commanded you. If you notice things that are repetitive in the Bible, it's not that way just because he wanted to fill space in the Bible. It's because God's making a point to us. Anytime something is repetitively said, it's to remind us. And it says, Yahweh your God gives you rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land and which Moses gave you beyond the Jordan, but you shall cross before your brothers in battle array, and your valiant warriors shall keep them. Think about that. They're going in full battle array. Now, what did the God say? God said, I'm going to give you this land. Did they put down their swords? Did they put down their spears? Did they take off their shields? Their breastplates? No. They were ready to go to war. They were prepared. Though the Lord was going to promise to give them this land, they were ready to take it. And, you know, that's something that we need to keep in mind, that this is what separates your Joel Osteens, and name it and claim it. God did not promise our lives to be easy when he called us. We have to be in that battle array. I did a CE hour on full armor of God. We've got to don that full armor of God. Sometimes we forget that and we're unprepared. We always need to be prepared to meet the enemy. When you see such men as Joshua, I did this as I was reading this. I kind of pale at his character traits. And it's like, man, I might have this one over here, but look at all he has. And then you look at it, and he's no different from any man in this church. He is no different from any man in this church. You know, what set Joshua apart from other men? He was a leader. He was strong and courageous. He was a protector of his people. And he was obedient to God. Where did Joshua get these traits? These aren't inherent in our sinful human self. He gets them from God because God is the ultimate supreme leader, right? He is the most strongest and courageous, and he's what imparts that to us. And that's what he imparted to Joshua. He is the ultimate protector of his people. And he always demands obedience from his own. So when we come before and see what Joshua is, it's like I said, it is no different from any man in this church. It's how you let God use you. You got to pray. You've got to give yourself to him wholly. The battle that we have during this time of sanctification is our sinful selfishness, that original sin, because we are very selfish beings. We want what we want, and we need to give that to the Lord. So he could use us like he used Joshua. Now, we're going to go into an interesting section of Joshua as he sends spies. So again, not only are they in battle array, What does Joshua do? He's a leader. He's general of the army. He's a tactician. What's he do? He sends two spies over. Now, is that not trusting God? Absolutely, it's trusting God. I would want to know what I'm getting into. If I'm going in full battle array and I'm about to cross a river, I would send two spies. It's just a wise thing to do. And it says in chapter 2, verse 1, then Joshua, the son of Nun, sent two men as spies secretly from Shittim, saying, go see the land, especially Jericho. So they went, and they came to the house of the harlot, whose name was Rahab. Now, it's interesting. So harlot Rahab, you're going to see, as we listen to Rahab speak and such like that, she's definitely changed. I thought of looking back, and sometimes names stick. She was obviously a harlot at one time, right? Remember Simon the leper? What was he called after he was cleansed? Simon the leper. And so they came to Rahab's house, and they lodged there. Now, why did they pick Rahab's house? So if you remember, at the end, they lower them down from the city walls. First of all, God led them there, right? We all believe in the sovereignty of the Lord. God led them there, but it was strategic because it was on probably an obscure corner of the city, and it made easy access for the spies to be lowered down. So they lodged there, and then was told to the king of Jericho, saying, behold, men from the sons of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land. So the king's men aren't dawdlers, are they? They caught it that these two spies had entered the camp. And the king of Jericho sent word to Rahab saying, and obviously they saw him go to Rahab's house, right? Bring out the men who come to you and have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. And she said, yes, the men came to me, but I didn't know where they were from. Now, it happened when it was time to shut the gate, the men went out. I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and concealed them in stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued them on the road and to Jordan. So they took the bait, right? They took what Rahab said to the fords. And as soon as those who were pursuing them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now let's talk about lying. Because this is one of the things I had in all the commentaries. Kids, is it okay to lie? No, we should never, ever lie. But was this justified? You know, Rahab not only lied, but she totally deceived the king's men. You know, and said, hey, they got out of the gate. Go, you know, hurry up. You need to pursue them, right? While the writer of Joshua does not justify nor condemn the lie, this clearly saves the lives of the spies and her family. Because what would have happened if Rahab said, yeah, they're up on the roof? Not only would the spies have lost their life, but probably Rahab and all her family. So, went searching. Is there any place else that mentions this, right? Because the writer doesn't specifically say, is this a good or a bad thing? And James, in the book of James, when he's talking about faith without works is dead, James 2:25, and in the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. And the rest of the text here shows us the why. We're going to see things were imparted to Rahab for her to make this decision. Now, before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that Yahweh has given you the land and that the terror of you has fallen upon us. And all the inhabitants of the land have melted before you. She has some pre-knowledge of what these guys are here for. I don't know how she got it. It doesn't explain how she got it. But she says, I know that Yahweh, she's talking about their God, hath given you this land. For we have heard how Yahweh dried up the water of the Red Sea before you and came out of Egypt. And when you did, two kings of the Amorites were beyond the Jordan of Shinar and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. Indeed, we heard it, and our hearts melted. And the courageous spirit was no longer rose up in any man because of you. Their spirit was broken. For Yahweh, your God, he is God in heaven and above the earth. For her to claim that, I'm wondering if Rahab was saved. I wonder if for her to make these bold statements. So now, please swear to me by Yahweh. Okay, she's asking them to swear to them by their God. Since I have shown you loving kindness to you, and what is also shown loving kindness to my, I would also will to show the loving kindness of my father's house and give me a pledge of truth, and that preserve my father and my mother and my brothers and my sisters alive with all who belong to them, and delivers our lives from death. So the men said to her, our lives for yours. If you do not tell this business to Pharaoh, then it will be when Yahweh gives us the land that we will show loving kindness and truth to you. And then the rest of the story, right? As I talked, while they strategically had that place going to Rahab, they were lowered down. They were told, she was told to put a scarlet thread so it would identify the house. So when they come to destroy Jericho, they would save Rahab and her family. And what's interesting here too is they trusted Rahab. There must have been something, you know, with Rahab proclaiming Yahweh. What did she do? She told them to go and wait 3 days in the hills, and they listened to her. You know, these are spies. These are probably hardened, military type people, and they're taking the word of Rahab the harlot, right? You know, when we are faced with an immeasurable task, how should we react? How do God's promises? How does God's promise remind us? Let's just look at a few verses, and these are going to be familiar verses, and there are a lot more in God's word. But you know, Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in Yahweh what with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Psalm 28:7-8, Yahweh is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart exults, and with my song I shall thank him. Yahweh is their strength, and he is a strong defense of salvation to his anointed. Then Yahweh said to Joshua, this day I will begin to magnify you in the sight of Israel, and they may know you, that just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. Moreover, you shall command the priests who are carrying the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you shall come to the edge of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand in the river. And Joshua said to the sons of Israel, come here and hear the words of Yahweh, your God. And Joseph said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will assuredly dispossess from before you the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Hivite, the Perizzite, the Girgashite, the Amorite, and the Jebusite. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord with all the earth is crossing over ahead of you into the Jordan. Now take care of yourselves. Take 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from each tribe. And it will be that when the soles of their feet of the priests who carry the Ark of Yahweh, the Lord of all the earth, rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan will be cut off. And the waters which are flowing down from above stand in one heap. When you think about this, it also says in this time, I'm kind of skipping around here a little bit, but it also says this was like a springtime. The banks were overflowing, right? And you can imagine, just as you're leading people to this big body of water, you know, what's going through their mind. My thought, what came to my mind too, is the two spies. Think about this. They had to get across that river twice, one to go over and one to come back. You know, you could see them like staring at each other. It's like, okay, how are we going to do this? And when we read the promises of God, I see Joshua not only received the word of God. What did he do? He said, come near and hear the words of Yahweh your God. Debbie asked me, what have you learned? What have you, you know, as maybe I'm reading something, or maybe I'm sharing with her. She loves it when I share to her from the word. We should do that. We shouldn't just take in the word and consume it. We should share it. And, you know, Joshua said to Israel, come near and hear the words of Yahweh your God. God just spoke to Joshua. Now Joshua is sharing with everybody else. Come near and hear the words of Yahweh. With boldness and conviction, you're going to hear this. And they crossed the Jordan on dry land. Now, that's a miracle, because, you know, it was not only springtime when he parted the waters, it was the priest got up there and they just dipped, they're carrying the ark, the priests are there, they dipped their toes in the water, the water was held back, and they crossed on dry land. And once on the other side, if you're following me, is chapter 4, 4 through 7, it says, so Joshua called 12 men whom he had appointed the sons of Israel, one man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross again before the ark of Yahweh, before your God, in the middle of the Jordan. And each of you carry a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Israel, in order that this should be a sign among you, that when your children ask you later on, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall say to them, because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of Yahweh when it crossed Jordan. And the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever. How many times have you been faced in your life with an insurmountable task that God led you through that? You know, just as he's leading Israel through. Did you place stones to remember the event? I say that kind of facetiously. Obviously, we didn't place a stone, but we do have the stories that we can share. We do have the photographs or the videos that we can share where God took you over your Jordan. And that's important, especially to us older folks, that we can remind our children and our grandchildren of where God has taken us from and to, and give them that hope too. And that when they turn back on that event, you know, whether it was a celebration of life from a death of a loved one, or it could, you know, be your testimony, sharing how you came to Christ, right? Whatever it was, it always points back to the sovereign God that loves us. So before we get into the events of Jericho, Joshua meets, there's this parenthesis in here where he meets the true commander-in-chief. And it kind of puts him in his place of where he stands. Chapter 5, verses 13 and 15. Now it happened that when Joshua was by Jericho, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. That's ready for battle, right? And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And he said, "What? No. Rather, I indeed come now as the commander of the host of Yahweh." And Joshua fell to the face of the earth and bowed down before him. "What has my Lord have to say to this slave?" Joshua knew his place here. The commander of the host of Yahweh said to Joshua, "Remove your sandals from your feet, for this is the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. This term's known as like a Christophany, where it's a precursor to Christ born in the flesh, shows up in the Old Testament, right? And, you know, this truly shows who is in charge. And Joshua acknowledges his humble position. Here he is, the commander, right? Of all of Israel, ready to lead them across the, you know, just led the people across from the Jordan. They made the memory stones. He called himself a slave. We need to remember our creature and creator, who we belong to and where we're at. Sometimes we get, you know, it says in Romans 12, you know, we sometimes think more highly than we ought of ourselves. And sometimes we need that humbling. And sometimes we get that humbling. But we need to understand who we are in the sight of the Lord. So we get to the fall of Jericho. This is the promises kept here. And Yahweh said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, with its kings and valiant warriors, and you shall march around the city, all the men of the war, circling the city once. You shall do so for 6 days." Now, you know, it doesn't explain why 6 days. But it's just, okay, Lord, you said 6 days, and we're going to do that 6 days, right? And also, seven priests shall carry seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. Now, if you're a warrior, where are you going to put out front? You're going to put out your strongest men. What does the Lord say to do? People with trumpets, and who's behind them? The Ark of the Covenant. Who's behind that? Then the battle array, right? "And on the 7 days, you'll march around the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow the trumpets. And it will be that when they make the long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will be fallen down beneath itself. And the people will go up, every man straight ahead." And then I jump ahead in chapter 6. Then it happened that on the 7th day, they rose early at the breaking of dawn. Now you got to figure, what's the anticipation of this, right? Joshua has already been told what's going to happen. You know, you gotta, I can't even imagine what's going through Joshua's mind right now of like, okay, what's this gonna look like? And they marched around the city in the same manner seven times. Only that day they marched around the city seven times. Now it happened that on the seventh time, the priests blew their trumpets, and Joshua said to the people, "Shout! For Yahweh has given you the city, and the city shall be devoted to destruction, and all that in it is belongs to Yahweh. Only Rahab the harlot and all those that are with her in the house shall live, because she hid the messengers who he sent." What happened? The walls came tumbling down, and they got the city. Rahab was saved. God will always, always keep his promises. He did this for Joshua of Israel and all of Israel, and he will do it for you also. We need to cling on those promises, even if we don't see them in tangible forms right away. We might not even see it on this side of heaven. So what are some of the traits in your life of God keeping his promise? God calls you, and you listened and obeyed. You need to show that humility as Joshua did when he called himself a slave. You need to read and meditate on his word. Verse 1:8, this book shall not depart from your mouth. You are a protector of the vulnerable, where it talks about your wives and your little ones and the cattle. The biggest lesson in all of this is that you cannot do any of this on your own. It's entirely God's doing in your life. He is sovereign over all. He is the one that imputes this into you, right? If we trust and obey him. He is all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-seeing. We need and must understand the creature and creator relationship. We need to keep that in mind. It's just, you know, that came to mind this morning when you were talking about the mindset of our finances, right? We can do the same thing that the world does, but that's not what God wants us to do. It's not my car, my house. It's his. We need to keep that first and foremost. But what happens when things don't go as you thought they would? We all deal with that. Chapter 7, 1 through 15, it says, "But the sons of Israel acted unfaithfully in regard to the things devoted to destruction. Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerath, from the tribe of Judah, took some devoted things. Therefore, the anger of Yahweh burned against the sons of Israel." This was a covenant that was broken, that they were promised. And one thing that we learn about covenants through the Bible is God will promise, but if you break that covenant, there will be repercussions. We're going to find that out. "Now Joshua sent men to Jericho from Ai, which is near Beth Aven, east of Bethel, and said, 'Go up and spy out the land.'" So he's kind of using the same strategy here, right? Let's go spy out the land. Let's check it out. "So the men went up and spied out Ai, and they returned to Joshua and said to him, 'Don't have all the people go up. We got this.'" I put in "we got this." "We got this. Only about 2,000 or 3,000 men need to go out and strike down Ai." A little cocky, right? You know, "Do not have all the people toil up there, for they are few. So about 3,000 men from the people went up there, but they fled from the men of Ai. And the men of Ai struck down about 36 of the men and pursued them from the gate as far as Shibarim and struck them down on the descent. So the hearts of the people melted and became as water." Their heart melted. What did Rahab say about her people in Jericho when they heard about the fierceness of Yahweh and what he had done? Their heart melted. Well, the same thing happened here. What's Joshua's reaction to this? Now, you look at Joshua, and you can't hold a man up on a pedestal, right? But you know, he's a pretty solid leader, you know, when we look at leaders. But what happened? He said, then Joshua tore his clothes, and he fell to the earth on his face before the ark of Yahweh until evening, both he and the elders of Israel. And they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, catch this, alas, O Lord Yahweh, why did you ever bring this people over the Jordan, only to give us the land of the Amorites to make us perish? If only we had been willing to live beyond the Jordan. O Lord, what can I say, since Israel has turned their backs before the enemies? And the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear of it, and they will surround us, and they will cut us off, our name from the earth. And what will you do for your great name? Wow. What a difference of tone. Joshua goes from this great leader to in fear mode. And what happens when we get into fear mode? When we are hit with an immense, this shouldn't be happening to me, we tend to look inside of ourselves. And then what do we do? I'm sure each one of us have doubted God. And that's what Joshua did here. Now, did God forget his promises? Absolutely not. But they broke that covenant, right? So now they're paying the price. The next verse, there's that little pause, but, and what will you do for your great name? Joshua asked God. So Yahweh said to Joshua, rise up. I could see that as a dad, like, scolding his son. Like, what are you doing? Rise up. Why is it that you have fallen on your face? Israel has sinned, and all they have also trespassed against my covenant, which I commanded them. And they have taken some of the things that were devoted to destruction and have both stolen and dealt falsely. Moreover, they have also put them among their own things. Therefore, the sons of Israel cannot rise before their enemies. They turn their backs before their enemies, for they have come devoted to destruction. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy the things devoted to destruction in your midst. And he says it again, rise up. Set the people apart as holy and say, set yourselves apart as holy for tomorrow. For thus Yahweh, the God of Israel, said, there are things devoted to destruction in the midst, O Israel. You cannot rise before your enemies until you have removed the things devoted to destruction from your midst. In the morning, you shall come near your tribes, and it will be that the tribes which Yahweh takes by a lot shall come near by families, and the family which Yahweh takes shall come near by households, and the households which Yahweh takes shall come near man by man. And it will be that the one who has taken the things devoted to destruction shall be burned with fire, he and all that belong to him, because he has trespassed against the covenant of Yahweh, and because he has committed a disgraceful thing in Israel. Before we can be useful to God, we need, what do we do? What's the first thing that we do when we come here? We have that prayer of confession. If you're holding on to some idol, if you're holding on to something, this was scorched earth policy. Not only with the people of Jericho, but Achan, who sinned, what happened? It wasn't just Achan that was punished. It was his whole family and all their animals. and they were burnt and rocks piled on top of them. Very serious stuff. I don't know what I would do if I was in Joshua's shoes here, you know? I might have torn my clothes and sat down and go, oh no, I'm defeated. You know, God said we were going to be able to tackle everybody, and obviously that's not the case. The people of Ai is running over us. Joshua totally lost the sight of the promises of God and became inwardly focused and even doubted the Lord. You know, if you go back to what he said, why did you ever bring his people over the Jordan, only to give us into the hand of the Amorites and make us perish? If only we had been willing to live beyond the Jordan. Isn't this kind of familiar with the people after they crossed Egypt and things started getting rough? We should have stayed in Egypt. You start second-guessing God. And when do we start second-guessing God? When there's 9 times out of 10, it's because we have sin in our life. We're holding on to an idol in our life. And we can't serve him completely until we shed that. But God kept his promises. Now Yahweh said to Joshua, do not fear or be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you and rise and go up to Ai. See? Now this is before the battle even began, right? I have given into your hands the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. So you shall do to Ai as its king, just as you did to Jericho and its king. And you should take only its spoils and its cattle as plunder for yourselves. Now they're given permission for this, right? Joshua learned from his self-doubting, selfish ways. So, you know, let's look at one of the last quotes from Joshua. This is in chapter 24. Joshua lived to be 110 years old, by the way. He had a good long life. This is one of the more positive people that we read about in the Bible. And he says in 24:15, if it is evil in your sight to serve Yahweh, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living today. But as for me and my house, we will serve Yahweh. Dads, let's make that stance. Fathers, husbands, let's make that stance for our homes. Future fathers and husbands, that should be a statement in your home. I serve Yahweh. For me and my house, we serve the Lord. So, you know, I'm hoping going through some of this lesson, again, this is history, this is our history, Joshua has challenged you. You know, spiritually, trusting God at his promises. We're finite, right? He's infinite. He has the promises for us. And those promises are kept. And we must trust in him. Even when things don't look good. Even when things are not going what we feel our way. We've got to trust in the sovereignty of the Lord. We need to pray and meditate on God's word. That's critical. If we don't know God's word, we are just left to our own thoughts and the world's influence. That is how we guard our minds. Again, this wasn't a Bible story, one which we share. This is part of our legacy. This is part, we can look at this, and this is part of our legacy. We can learn from it. Men, be strong and courageous. Love your wives boldly and your children. Protect them and protect the weak. Women, be strong and courageous. Support your husbands and your family. And yes, if you see some weakness showing, call it out. We don't like it, but we need it. Children, live strong and courageous. Listen to your mothers and fathers. That's, they say, if we listen to our moms and dads, that will promise us a long life. So we need to trust in Him and Him alone, and He shall direct your paths. Now, for those of you, you know, I don't know where people are at in this congregation, but you might, of all this I've read on Joshua today, it might just be a story to you. You know, it might even be something that you grew up in church with a flannel graph or whatever, you know, in a color page that you did. This is reality. And these truths only come to those who believe the Lord. If you are without the Lord today, you need to repent from your sins. You need to turn. You need to cry out to the Lord. Cry out to the Lord before it's too late. And He will save you. It says that if you cry out. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank You for Your word. Lord, it is so powerful, so strong, so encouraging, and so convicting. That, Lord, that we can hide Your word in our hearts so that we don't sin against You. That we learn from Your word so we won't be destined to repeat the sins of our forefathers. Lord, strengthen all of us here. Let us look up to You. Let us remember we are Your creation. You are the Creator. We are finite. You're infinite. You know all things, even before we can see them happen. You have orchestrated everything since the beginning of time. Lord, guide us and direct us. And Lord, I pray for anybody here that does not know You, that they will cry out to You, that they will seek You while You can be sought after. Lord, we love You and praise You and thank You for all You do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi there, this is Austin Hetzler, the pastor of Christ the Rock Church, located in Amherst, Ohio. We at Christ the Rock are humbled and grateful to be a part of your sanctification today as you listen to this sermon. But at the same time, we want to encourage you to be a member of a good local church, and not to allow online sermons to replace the local church, and to continue to benefit from the life of that church and to give your spiritual gifts back to that church. Having said that, our website is ChristRockChurch.com. If you go there, you can find sermons, blog posts, and other resources, as well as our location and service times. You can also listen to our sermons on Podbean, Apple iTunes, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. I, along with a membership of Christ the Rock Church, pray that this sermon will be a blessing to you.